pick up the authorized version of the scriptures that you'll find in front of you in the pew, and turn with me to the book of the prophecy of Hosea at the chapter 10. It's page 901 in the Old Testament part, the first part of the Bible. Hosea chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. We read together on the Lord's Day morning, taking your time from me. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 9. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, a battle in Gibeah, against the children of iniquity, did not overtake them. It is my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his cloth. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon the children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off, and God shall stamp with his own divine approval this reading from his very own precious, infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Notice first the time of sowing. It is time to seek the Lord. Thank God we have yet time. We could have run out of time as far as sowing is concerned, or we could have run out of the mental ability to redeem that time because the days are evil. How easily are the faculties that we have unable to be exercised? How soon old age wearies not only the body, but wearies the mind, and robs the mechanics of our intellect of its ability to operate. But God has been good to us. Yet there is time. We have mental strength to do the task And thank God we have the precious time to do it in. Thank God we have yet time, for we have not run out of the physical ability to do the job. Just as it is imperative to have mental strength, so we need the physical strength, and that is imperative. But God has sustained us and given us physical strength. It is time to seek the Lord. We are mentally able to do it. It is time to seek the Lord. We are physically able to do it. Thank God we have yet time, for God has provided the very time itself we need to accomplish this task. Like the husbandman who pled with the owner of the fig tree to permit him to dig around it and dung it until that fruitless tree became a fruit-bearing tree. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, 8-9, we hear the man answering his Lord, and he says, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and it bear fruit well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So should we plead for time for God to work upon the souls of men. Over 25 years ago, I had a police officer who drove me and protected me for many years. I often had opportunity to witness to him, but I felt that my witness was very much in vain. The other day I received a message that he had taken ill and was in hospital, and I called to see him. And I had the glorious privilege of bringing him to that blessed assurance of salvation in Christ. And I was greatly encouraged this week when a gentleman went to see him in the hospital. And he said, Ian, he's a new man. I've never seen such a difference in a man before. Cast your bread on the waters, it'll return to you after many days. Oh, my soul, I would say to you today, it is time for us to sow. It is time for us to sow. It is time to sow. This is God's time for me to sow. It is God's time for you, if you're ungodly and unconverted, to receive the living seed of the gospel in your heart. Today, if ye will hear his word, the scriptures say, harden not your heart. Today is opportunity time. Tomorrow is eternity, just hidden from your view. Remember, God's time is limited. It comes to an end. Like the woman who sinned away her gospel opportunity and cried upon her deathbed, call back time, call back time, call back time. Such, dear sinner, will be your hopeless case if you do not turn to Christ now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And to every believer, there is another commandment. Go work in God's vineyard today. While it is day, behold, the night cometh when no man can work. So much for the time of sowing. Let us look secondly at the task of sowing. Break up the fallow ground. We must not let the sowing time pass us by. We must be up and doing. There is a time to sow, and if we miss it, we have missed the harvest. Remember the lesson of the sower that God the Son spoke of in His great parable of the sower. He emphasized as all important the ground upon which the seed did fall. The seed was always ripe. It was the same seed, but it was the ground that it was necessary to prepare. It had to fall on good ground. That's what this text is saying. Break up your fallow ground. To break up fallow ground, unworked ground, the plow must go in deep. The soil must be turned up to the sunlight and to the rain and the air and the snow. The creepy, crawling creatures must be disturbed and destroyed. Then the stones must be carried off the upturned soil, and further the harrowing must take place to break the clods. That's a work that you've got to do. This is the task of sowing. This work must be carefully done. For only this way can good ground be prepared to take the seed and guarantee a harvest. This is work. It is real work. It is hard work. It is constant work. It is often disappointing work. But it is in the end yielding work. For your labor will not be in vain in the Lord, and it will be amply repaid. This preparation for sowing is a costly work. You need to weep over the erring one. You need to be humiliated. It's a weary work. It's a troublesome work. It is a praying work. It is a pleading work. It is real working. Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you will reap life everlasting. So much for the time and the task. What about the test of sowing? Sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. The true sower is a living example of what sowing to yourselves really is. Note the words, sow to yourselves righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The sower is a personal demonstration of true sowing. To sow to yourselves in righteousness is for you to manifest the attributes and character of Christ in your own living, that man might see the beauty of Christ in you, that Christ may be reflected in your speech, in your attitude, in your love, and in your labor.
Oh, my brethren, we can only be strong when Christ is in us, controlling us, guiding us, inspiring us, and pushing us to do His will. We can only be holy in Christ alone. We can only glow with holy fire from Christ alone. Oh, ask God today to save you from ever having to confess, "They made me a keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept." Until you keep your own heart, you can never reach for the hearts of others or win them to Christ. I cannot be a channel of blessing if I constantly trifle with sin. I'll be a barrier and a hindrance to those I am trying to win. So to yourself in righteousness. Look you well to your Lord, as I am looking to my Lord for a continual anointing upon us and the force of divine power baptizing us in this work of sowing. And always remember that everything which depends upon the soul being well sown after it is seed being well sown after it is plowed and prepared. If we want a special harvest in this mission that's coming, we must make special preparation and special sowing. Read the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is the Gospel of Christ at prayer. Christ is more times at prayer in the Gospel of Luke than in any other of the Gospels. Everything He did, He prayed before He did it. Before He called His disciples, He prayed. Before He carried out His work of preaching, He prayed. Before He walked the sea and calmed the storm, He prayed. If Christ had to pray, how much more you need to pray. There is a great verse, and it says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of God and the excellency of our God." This is the great test of sowing. Look at the trial of sowing until He come. You have to keep at it. The plowing and the sowing are ours, but the coming of Christ is God in His sovereignty and in His sovereignty alone. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, that the Lord might come amongst us, not as a wayfaring man to stay the night, but as the Lord of my plowing and my sowing and the King of my harvest. All grace is His, and it must come from Him. And come from Him alone. Away with the clergy who love to be called your grace. Their grace is counterfeit. It's a form of self-righteousness. As Mr. Spurgeon put it so well, observe, all grace must come from Christ. Rain comes from God. He rains it. Every drop of grace comes from heaven. Your sinner can never get any grace until God gives it to you. It's a gift of God. Remember, you must wait upon Him if you're going to get it. It is heavenly grace, and it will be no grace at all if it's not heavenly. It can come to you There are some parts on earth that never could be watered if it did not rain. Nobody would ever think of watering the hilltops, but he watereth his hills from the chambers. He cannot give grace to you. You are in such a desolate, lonely, mountainous place, but God can get grace to you. God is a God of all grace. See how it is. He will rain righteousness upon you. Then as there is a straight way for the rain even in the wilderness, so there is a straight way for God's grace to drop into the desert heart. Rain comes sovereignly as God wills it, where he wills it, and how he wills it. And in degree and duration, it is according to his will. Oh, how we need a baptism of grace. Grace, there is my every debt to pay. Blood, there is to wash my every sin away. Power, there is to keep me spotless day by day in Christ for me. Dear sinner friend, lift up your heart to God today and ask God for grace, free grace, blood-soaked grace, Calvary grace, saving grace, keeping grace, eternal life grace, and he'll give it to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is available. Christ is full of grace and truth. He has been giving grace to millions, and he is not in any way in poverty. He is as rich as the day he began. He is rich in grace. O Lord Jesus Christ, in thy fullness come in now, and make my plowing, my sowing result in a mighty reaping, all of grace alone. We're not saved by works, we're saved by grace alone. Finally, there is the triumph of sowing. Rain righteousness upon you. Let me illustrate this great promise. Do you remember Elijah? Poor, lonely man. Very much feeling his isolation. But he stands on the mountain of Carmel. He faces an apostate king, apostate priests, and an apostate nation. And in a few minutes, did you ever read his prayer? It was one of the shortest ever offered. In a few minutes, he called mighty fire from heaven, and the fire burned the sacrifice. But when it was over, it wasn't a 5-minute prayer that brought the waters from the heavens. He got down on his knees on the top of the mountain, and with groans and cries and tears and fears, he prayed that God would open the clouds and pour out the rain. The land was in dearth and deadness and blackness. 3.5 years and not one drop of water had fallen from the heavens. And here was a man that had to break the barricaded doors of heaven and get a water supply for the people. He didn't do it in a minute. He called the fire down in a minute, but not the water. And he said to Gehazi, there's a great sea of water out there. Go up to the top of the mountain. Look out on the supply. And perhaps you'll get a token for good. And the servant went up. Gehazi went up. He looked along the sea line. He came back. And he said, Elijah, master, there's nothing. And Elijah looks up. His eyes are filled with tears. He is sweating under great concern. And he says, Gehazi, Go up again. And again the servant went up, and he came down and he says, Master, there is nothing. He said, go up again. And as you go, I will pray harder. I'll pray stronger. I'll pray with every ounce of strength in my body and every push of my mental capability. I'll pray that the windows will open. And down the servant came again the third time. And he said, Prophet, there is no answer. He said, go up again. And you hear that? I said, what's the use? The great field of water out there, the great Mediterranean Sea, but it's not here. There's a great supply of water out there, but there's no water for us. And he went up the fourth time, and the fifth time, and the sixth time. He was outraged with the prophet, and he said, alas, Master, there's nothing. And Elijah looked at him, and he said, I told you you'd have to go seven times. And on the seventh time, he got to the top of the mountain, and he looked, and he saw a little cloud like a man's hand. I've stood on the top of Carmel. I have seen those little clouds. I was absolutely amazed at it. Hundreds and hundreds of years, centuries after Elijah saw them, I stood there and I saw those little clouds coming out of the sea, just the size of a man's hand. And Elijah smiled. He says, Gehazi, if you don't go down there and tell old Ahab to get home quickly, he'll have to swim for it. And he went down the mountain himself, and he tucked his flowing garments into his leathern girdle, and he outran the horses. He outran the chariot. He outran the king, because God had sent the water that he had prayed for. If you want to outrun the modernists and the papists and the ecumenists and all those people that would destroy the gospel in this land, you'll need to know that baptism from power from on high. And then you will be able to see the triumph of your sowing in a harvest that there'll not be room enough to receive. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts and grant that we may sow in tears and reap with joy for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.